أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طه، ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى. الرحمن على العرش استوى. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. الله لا إله إلا هو، له الأسماء الحسنى. وهل أتاك حديث موسى؟ إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم امكثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى. فلما آتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع عليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى. وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى. إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى. فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى.
Now, So topic in Hebrew is not old word. I was wanting to encourage you to see what you can receive. And this something is very important. Not to be a listener only, to be engaged, to be hungry. Because if you're hungry, you receive. If you're not hungry, I cannot give you too much. Now, who can voluntarily tell me what we gain? Don't tell me what you read. Don't tell me what the surah said. What you gain. What is the message in your heart? You believe it received in your heart. Anybody can tell me what is the message? Go ahead.
Second sister said, purpose of life. You have to have a purpose of life. If you have a purpose of life, you find. If you do not have a purpose of life, you get lost. Okay, what else? What's that? Meaning go to Allah. Anybody else? The message is not last sister, she said, go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody else? Okay. You see, like I said before, Quran, we can go to Quran from many angles. But I believe today it's the best angle and the first angle to know. What is the main message from Allah in the surah? Because every time the revelation comes, it's a wisdom, it's a purpose. And if I go step by step to the wisdom and the purpose and the messages, and I go step by step, this is how I can learn myself. And this is what's missing in the Ummah today. We're not going according to revelation. We're going according to situation. Huge difference. Don't ever forget me. We're going according to situation, well, and we're not going according to revelation. And this again is the sunnah of Allah. This again is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the main message, leaves a condition on me. The main message, leaves a condition on me. And come to me, I take care about your condition. Is this understood? And we're going to see it right now in Surah Al-Muzammil and Al-Muddathir. Why? Because these two surahs, it revealed after Surah Al-Alaq immediately. By this way, the number one surah was the main message. Remember who is your Lord, who is the ruler, who is your Rabb. And if you read all the verses after that in Al-Muzammil and Al-Muddathir, again, Rabb. Rabb, oh my Lord. And we said, the main purpose of the word Rabb, to realize who's the creator, who's the provider, who's the protector, who's the doer. But it's containing everything. And unless we know, and we establish the relationship between us and the creator, we will go anywhere. This number one rule. Even before worship,
But after that, immediately, let's see what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has started by saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal muzammil. The one who covered himself. Al-muzammil or al-muddakkar. The one who was very afraid and completely covered himself, stay in bed. Because what happened is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to meditate, and when the Jibreel alayhi salam, Angel Jibreel started coming to him, he was scared. He doesn't know what's going on. But as we go, and he used to say, Zabbiruni, Zabbiruni, Daftaruni, Daftaruni, cover me up. From the fear and the amount of rashfa, the amount of what you call it, you know, in your body shape. You know? Now, what is the message from Allah to him? Ya ayyuha al-muzammil, the one who is sleeping, قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Get up and pray to the Lord. نِصْفَهُ أَوْ نُصْفَهُ مِنْ قَلِيلًا. Half of it, or even more than half. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And maybe more than that, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And recite Quran in a tarteel way. Tarteel. According to the scholar, what is tarteel? Recited the way Jibreel alayhi salam given to you. And we don't stop at that for a moment. Inna zanuti alayka qawlan thaqila. You're going to receive a very, very heavy weighted message. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue, and it's ordained to us at night time is a very powerful between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, in the beginning of revelation, it was almost obligatory of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get up at night until his feet was swollen and was cracking from standing up. And even Muslim used to pray like that. By the way, prayer at this time was different than the prayer after the 9 Hijri, the 9 in Mecca. Meaning, the prayer at this time, the beginning of revelation, it got the same way of our Salah. It was a little bit different. Different in the amount, different in many ways. But it was similar. But the obligation was heavy until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy on them. What's the Isma Rabbika wa tabattal ilayhi tabtila? Remember the name of your Lord again, Rabbaka. What's the Isma Rabbika? Again, your Lord. Not ilah, Rabb. Remember that. All that kazura, Rabb. Emphasizing the word Rabb. رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا. The Lord of East and West. لا إله إلا هو. The only creator, the only one. فاتخذه وكيلا. Make him your وكيل. Make him your own وكيل. Make him the one you completely surrender to him and seek support from him and trust him and rely on him. You see, this is the first message. وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. And be patient in what they say, because they insult them. وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Leave them. Immigrate from them. هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Soft immigration. What means soft immigration? Without any problem. Meaning, do not make a fuss, don't quote the name, don't even busy with them. Do you see what's the main message? You want really this, the developed Islam in you, you have to go to the same sequence. Now, I'm going to stop in here for a moment. Because this really, it hurt me so much. And unless we change it, we're not going anywhere. I'm going to take you to something very important. About what the meaning معدل القرآن ترتيلا. To recite Quran tartila. The early people, they said, at tartil, to make sure you recite every letter clearly and give it all time. Because if you look at the Quran, Quran has all the tanween and tashkeel and madda and fatha and dhamma and this and that. For what? This actually is tashkeel in neda. If you read the first Quran, it has none of this design. This design came to us because we do not know the rule. But if you look at the early Quran, have none of that. Because they know how to read it. They know how to mean tartil. Why? They used to take it from one to another. I say that in the camp and people get upset with me. If I said, is this tartil? Is this tartil? Tell me, is this tartil? Listen to what the other people said. And what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Aisha radiallahu anha said, when she said how Rasulullah sallallahu used to recite Quran, she said he used to recite and make madda. He used to expand his voice with every word. And if he comes to make Allah, Rabbat, Rabbuka, anything belong to Allah, he stop. He give it a pause. Respect. Respect. And even Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and this is in Sahih Bukhari also. How Rasulullah used to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? According to Aisha radiallahu anha and other, he used to make mad of the end of every word. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zayyidu al-Qur'an al-Aswatikum. Decorate the Qur'an with your voice. And when Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated in Sahih Bukhari again, Rasulullah said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Is not among us whoever recite Quran and do not recite it nicely. Imagine, لَيْسَ مِنَّا. He's not among us. He's not among us. Sahih Bukhari. Authentic hadith. لَيْسَ مِنَّا. مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Is not among us who's not recited Quran with a nice voice. And when one of the companions, his name was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah he heard him, you know what he said? He said, لَقَدْ أَعْطِيْتَ مِزْمَارًا مِنْ مَزَامِيرِ داود عليه السلام. Allah give you a tone of voice similar to the one he gave to David. Tell me where we are. Tell me. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, لَا تَنْفُرُوهُ نَفْرَ الرَّمْلِ. Don't spread Quran the way you spread sand. When you have a bunch of sand and you spread it, what happened? Tell me what happened to the sand. It grew, it fly in the air all over. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, don't do that. Do you know who's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the one of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, take the Quran from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Take the Quran from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Meaning, anybody who used to take Quran, he go to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, certified by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the owner of the Quran. Listen to what he said. وَلَا تَهُذُّ. Meaning, do not be reading it. قِفُوا عِنْدَ عَجَائِبُ. Stand up and be quiet and pause in a time when you see wonder about the Quran. وَحَرِّكُوا بِهِ الْقُلُوبِ. And change your heart with it. Make your heart move with it. Because Quran is supposed to change your heart. Quran, maybe if you recite it, it will change your heart. If you recite it,
it will change your heart. If you recite it, it will affect your manner. If you recite it will affect your behavior. If you recite it will affect even your tone of voice.
وَلَا يَكُنْ هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ خَدْمِ السُّورَةِ. And don't read it with the intention, all your ham, all your intention to finish the end of the surah. Today we read and we see where's the end, I won't finish it. And all my aim is to finish the reading. Do you think at this time I'm really reading Quran? Do you think I'm gaining anything from Quran? May Allah forgive us. And this is why today you see a lot of people carry Quran and destroy Quran. They curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He curses those who carry Quran and do not respect it. It's more than Jews and Christians. Because you should respect what you carry. It's not a game. It's not a magazine. It's the heaviest word. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked her again, how will Rasulullah use your sign? She said, if you want to calculate every letter, you can. Listen carefully now. If you want to calculate every letter of his recitation, you can. What does it mean? May Allah forgive our tarawih. May Allah forgive our tarawih. I do not call it tarawih. I went to Guyana, may Allah forgive me. And I built a surgeon, it has four scholar, a school of tahfeel, and I cannot even listen to any word. And I'm speaking Arabic, I cannot know what he's reciting. And after he finished, the only word I can hear, the only word in the end. That's it. And the only word you can hear is the end. I said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I cannot. I really cannot. And too fast. You have no time to say Subhana Rabbiyal Ali. You have no time to say Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. You have no time to make dua. If I cannot make dua in Ramadan, if I cannot prostrate to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, what kind of tarawih is that? I do not understand it. When I looked at us in Ramadan, I said, Allah, and we want to do some witness? If we liar, if we are a liar, if me, between me and Allah, I'm a liar, what can be between me and Allah? Do you think I have any witness in me?
Do not have the quality, they refuse to make a result for us.
And today, the lower group of tahfiz. The one who cannot be good at anything, we make him tahfiz. And after that, half is come, half is go. And we get upset. And if you do not like it, you don't look to your manner. Look at what you know about Quran. If you do not like what I hear, go to Sahih Bukhari. Sahih Bukhari is a Muslim in Sahih. And read all the hadith reported about our deen Quran. You will see what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. If you believe in Rasulullah. If you don't believe in Rasulullah, keep doing what you do. And to be a Muslim, you have to believe in Allah and you have to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine when Rasulullah said, Laysa minna is not among us who do not need to recite Quran with a good voice. And doesn't mean to make tarani, to make it like a song, and you don't worry about it. No. Because today we go to extreme. And some people take it as a song. And you bring in the best choir, the best reciter, and only worry about the voice. Some people worry about the number, some people worry about the voice, but nobody worry about the Quran. And even when we hear Quran, we not worry about what Allah said. If we spending a whole month in one verse, but all of us need with one verse in our heart, we are well. But if we did it a little bit, and we do not have any one verse in our heart, we are losing. Please do not talk to each other. By this way, one of the first commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to recite Quran, to meditate, to remember Allah, to cut himself from everybody, to do tawakkul, complete rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why the message is coming? By this way, it was a preparation for the soul and the body of the child. What about us? Is this only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Cannot be. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our teacher. By this way, if I want to do da'wah, like one sister called me yesterday, and this sister, I just started giving her da'wah. She didn't pray for many years. And she married a non-Muslim. She's a Muslim, but she never married a non-Muslim. And she started praying. And now she told me my husband complained about me. Why? Every time he comes from work, she didn't sit down, read Quran. You're living with him all these years, nonsense, and all of a sudden you push him read Quran. What about you reading Quran? What about you changing your own manner and behavior? What about you showing him Quran in action? Because we wanted to dawah to our Muslim, but we do not want to live Islam. It doesn't work. Before I talk to you about Islam, I should live Islam. And this is why I tell people, please, what you read, what you know, keep it to yourself until Allah opens for you, until Allah unites the heart for you, until you get the quality, until you're doing what you're saying. So once you do what you're saying, it will have a word of power, it will have weight. But you cannot just read today, give advice to everybody tomorrow. And I have do not have. Don't do that, please. Don't do that. A person play all day, but you won't buy it. Amazing. Really amazing. Please, Quran is not a game. Quran is the word of Allah. The more you handle Quran, the more Allah will give you. The more you handle Quran, the more Allah will give you. If you see yourself going down, meaning you disperse Quran. If you see yourself going up, you dignify Quran. The more you respect Quran, I promise you, you will see everybody respect you. Everybody give you dignity. Because if you give dignity to Quran, meaning you give dignity to Allah. If you give dignity to Allah, Allah promise He will give you dignity. Everybody has to respect you. Everybody has to love you. Everybody has to fear from you. And this is what the habit of the Prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah also He said, once
اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا. But remember the name of your Lord, وتبتل إليه. You know what I mean, تبتيل? Cut yourself from everyone except Allah. Cut yourself from everyone except Allah. Anybody coming to me today, I tell them, please cut your head off. Why? Living in a Western society, it gives you arrogance. Me, my mind, my education, my money, my spirit, everything is me. Where's the Creator in your agenda? Where is God in your agenda? Do you ever say, oh Creator, can you show me, guide me Creator, give me wisdom, what it means? We're not seeking anything from the Creator. We think I am. This, you know who's that? This Shaitan. The devil, he's the one who always said me. But a Muslim, a real Muslim, said, oh Allah, who's the Creator? Who's the ruler? All the wise, all the light, all the one who will guide you. Show me the way, guide me. Give me Allah, Allah will give you. The more you cut yourself from outside condition, the more the reality of Allah coming to you. If you look at us today, what's the problem? We get attached to the condition. We get attached to the situation. It can be a child, husband, wife, money, situation. And we're supposed to be cutting everything except from Allah. And even I said to some sister today, even us, especially our woman, once he get married, he still have the loyalty to mother and father. And they forget, once you marry, loyalty change according to Islam to your husband. The loyalty number one to the husband, not to mommy and daddy anymore. You cannot disobey your husband for your mom, and you can disobey your mother for your husband. You know that or no? This is man. This is a teaching of Rasulullah. You cannot say, mommy, know everything, and husband doesn't know nothing. You're betraying Allah, you're betraying Rasulullah, you're betraying your husband. Take it from me. You're supposed to, if you want to share, you share with your husband, not with your mommy. And the husband, he can tell you yes or no. But the question in here, what happened if my husband is by God, is a rabbi? What am I going to do? You pay the price for what you chose in the beginning. And if you're really a Muslim, very simple. Either try to give him dawah or finish it. Because your iman, your relationship between you and Allah above anybody. You cannot go to Allah and say, oh Allah, he destroyed me. Allah would say, Allah Akbar. Who's Akbar? Is me Akbar or your husband Akbar? Oh, but you didn't need to obey him. I tell you to obey him for me. I tell you to obey him for me. I've been a witness today. You see, the Muslim wife, if she has a problem buying gold, she will destroy her husband to get what she wants. If she wants the vacation, if she wants the car, if she wants the clothing, if she wants anything, she gets it. Once you get her Islam, oh, my husband think I cannot come. MashaAllah. She's a very wise, obedient woman, only with Islam. But any time, she can go to the room all day, she goes to the movie, she goes to shopping, she goes to nonsense, she goes to her friend, Allah knows where she goes, no problem. But once Islam comes, excuse me, I have to obey my husband. I see it over and over again. And I said to people, who you lying to? It's excuse. It's a dirty excuse. Because I know our woman, mashallah, if she wanted to twist the arm of the husband, mashallah, he becomes like a sheep. She drives him nuts and then he said, okay. Is this also accepted by Islam? No, it's not. But I'm talking about the importance of the loyalty. Because what's happening here now, something is very important. Once a message received, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the message, cut yourself from everybody. Loyalty to your clans, your tribe, your mother, your father, everybody. It's finished. This is why even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to the grave of his mom and cry day and night for 3 days.
until Jibreel alayhi salam comes, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you, stop it, ya Rasulullah. Allah choose you, Allah give you, stop it. He said, what about Umar? He said, stop it, ya Rasulullah. Similar to Ibrahim alayhi salam, you remember? By his way, loyalty number one to Allah. And today, we have no loyalty to Allah. And even our loyalty to our mommy and daddy is nonsense. Meaning, if I want a gift, if I want a computer, if I want a game, oh mommy, I'm sweet. And mommy give. And when mommy give me advice, bye-bye, mom. No obedience to mommy. Mommy not even a slipper. And this also a sign of the new judgment, I forget to tell you. Do you know what the sign of the new judgment? The daughter is the ruler. The daughter of the house is the ruler of the house. Not the father, not the mother. Today we move some houses, my daughter said, I have to do for my daughter. My daughter tell me, I have to please her, I have to make her happy. She get upset. Who's your daughter? You're talking about your daughter like you're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's shirk. Is daughter Akbar or Allah Akbar? It's supposed to be Allah Akbar. And after that we complain about the daughter. But we is the one generator of the master. And this is why I said, before you give your kids advice, you cry to Allah and ask Allah to change your heart. Number one is the heart. If your heart changes, Allah changes the condition around you. Don't ever forget that. You cannot be attached to them. Once you receive the message, de-attach yourself. You have to go alone. You have to go alone. And once Allah accepts you and unite your heart around you, now you can give da'wah. And if you read the rest of the surah, the rest of the chapter, it talks about the kuffar, the disbeliever, and what he said. We will do this to you, we will do this to you, whatever. Allah has a message. Leave them alone, leave them for me, don't worry about it. You have a job, you have a message. I'm not going again too much because it's not my purpose. My purpose is to give you links about understanding of different revelation and get the whole wisdom. If you read the end of the chapter, amazing. إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَ. This is a reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. Whoever will, he go and generate him a route and a path toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To go to the one who wants. Because Islam is not by force. Islam has to come from inside. This is why you cannot give Islam even to your kids. You can. You cannot give them guidance. They have to generate their own path. This zeen has to come inside of them. And after that, the whole revelation changed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to Rasulullah s.a.w. and the believer around him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you, and give you tawbah, and decrease the amount of recitation and the amount of prayer of life. We're not going to go into detail about that. The main thing to learn, the concepts of every level of revelation. By this way, if you ask me today, what's the first stage? De-attach your heart from everyone. How to learn to attach your heart toward Allah. And this has to be according to the revelation. What it means, you have to remember Allah in abundance. Can I remember Allah sometime, and look at TV sometime, reading some stupid magazine sometime, playing with nonsense with some people sometime? It doesn't work. This would deny istiqamah. Istiqamah meaning steadfast. You see, because at this moment, you are in a state of developing your strength. Imagine you are so sick, and the doctor came and said, I cannot cure you. You have to go to the hospital. You have to be in intensive care. You said, okay, I will go to intensive care in the daytime, at night time I go to the bar. And the following day I go to the show. The third day I go to play game. He said, you can't, you're so sick. You have to be in the intensive care for a period of time to develop your own strength. And this is what we're doing today. We want part-time Allah, part-time nonsense, part-time Lord, part-time TV, part-time, you know, friend nonsense, and I want in the end of night, I'm getting some email. No, it doesn't work. It's almost like somebody, a merchant, all day he make money. And before he go to home, he look for all the thieves in the area, give everybody some of his money. And he go home. He have any money? No. He distributed it among all the thieves in the street. This is what we do exactly. We do some good deed, and we say to Shaitan, Shaitan, all that will come in all of our good deed, we want to sleep zero or minus. How you develop your own iman? How you develop your own strength if you keep doing that? You can. And this is why, daily after daily, our quality is the same or decrease. You want an increase? Remember Allah. You want an increase? Cut your relationship in your heart with others. Yes, I can have a wife, a husband, a kids, any amount, but my heart should not be attached to them. I love them, the love of mercy. I like them. I take care about them. I take care about what they need. But mentally, spiritually, my heart for Allah. You see what I mean? What we're talking about in here is tenderness of the heart, not physically. But when nobody can tell them, okay, meaning I need my wife, I need my kids, I don't think he's there. You can be with them, you can take care about them, but your heart is not there. Your heart for Allah. You take care about them for Allah. You love them for Allah. Is this understood? This is the first stage. Can we go anywhere and build anything if we do not build the first stage? You can. You're not going anywhere. Because if you do not have Allah in your heart, where are you going? We can talk about all the revelation, all the hukm, all the fiqh. It doesn't work. Now, we go to the second chapter, which is chapter of Al-Muddathir. And Al-Muddathir have similar meaning. Again, Al-Muddathir meaning the one who cover himself. Al-Muddathir and Al-Muzammil is very similar. Okay? And they came one after another immediately. What it means immediately? It can be days, it can be hours, it can be weeks, but very shortly. Now, let's go right away and see. Because this surah is amazing. As a second surah, as a second chapter. Now, we heard the first stage. We heard the first stage. Prepare yourself for the message. Prepare your heart and soul for the message. Cut everything from you, between you and other, and go to your Lord. Now the second revelation, or the third revelation, what it say? Ya ayyuha al-muddathir. Again, the one who's sleeping and cover himself. Qum fa'andhir. Get up! You are a warner. Get up and warn people. Look at the message. Get up and warn. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبَّرْ. And again, and with your Lord فَكَبَّرْ. He is the Akbar. He is the greatest. Look at the message. وَهَيَّامَكَ فَطَحْبَرْ. And your clothing, make it new and clean. I was telling one sister today, may Allah forgive me. When I was young, I used to look to the people putting the clothing in the ropes outside. You know, in the Middle East, when you wash your clothing, you put it in the ropes to dry in the sun. And I used to look in the underwear. And I see the underwear always yellow. The majority is yellow. Yellow has spots. And something came in my heart. How a Muslim is underwear is yellow? Tell me. How a Muslim is underwear, it has spots in the front of the neck? How? If you are a female, you you might have some residue of different discharge, but it's not him. Should not be him. Should not be a urine. And I discovered the majority of Muslims is not cleaning themselves. The majority of Muslims do not do istinja properly, meaning they do not cleanse themselves before wudu. You know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went to Isra and Mi'raj in the last year approximately, what he said? He said, I see the majority of my ummah in the graves in a torture, and the grave is a piece of hellfire. And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, they commit major sins. He said, no, it's not a major sins. They are tortured in the grave by two. They tortured in the grave by two. He said, what is that, Ya Rasulullah? He said, the tongue and urination. Backbiting, namima, talking about each other. The tongue and urination. Look at our bathroom, when our kids, our youth go to the bathroom. It's filthy. Why? Why you do that? And where's the mother and father? Why you do not emphasize the cleanliness? Why you do not even look in your underwear of your brother or son or daughter daily to make sure it's even more dirt? And learn how to purify yourself from your nation. How to purify yourself from number two. You have to. I was saying, in the old days, when somebody has a daughter and he loves his daughter so much, and a man coming to marry her, you know what he do? He give him a test. You know what the test is? Wudu. He go to the bathroom with the man who going to marry his daughter. If he like his wudu, he accept him for husband. If he didn't like his wudu, he said, I cannot accept him as a husband. Does anybody know why? Imam Shafi'i, with all the knowledge he got, when he died, Sakina radiallahu anha descended from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam family. You know what she said? Rahimallahu Shafi'i. May Allah give mercy to Shafi'i. He used to make good wudu. She didn't say he's a scholar. She said he used to make good wudu. And the early people, what they say? They say, if a man make good wudu, he do good salah. If he do good salah, he has good iman. If he has good iman, he has good akhlaq. If he has good akhlaq, he deserves my daughter. Look what they're looking for. Akhlaq. Akhlaq. And today we're looking from outside and we'll pay the price later on. Imagine he's sleeping next to a man full of shayateen. What do you want to get? You'll be the company of what shayateen to? Because all of us either helping each other or destroying each other. By this way, please, go back to the manner of istinja. And for men, it's something extra called istinzal al-bur or istibra al-bur. Men, they have extra action. According to the Sunnah of Rasulullah, they have to do it before they even istinja. To get all the urine out of the body. And after you do that, you will find it in Sunan Abu Dawood, Sunan al-Tirmizi, Shama'il al-Tirmizi. You will find all this manner. It tells you exactly, step by step, how to purify yourself from urination. And from gas, by this way, when you get up, you're already clean, you do not have drips. You know sometimes what I do? I go to people's bathroom. And I look to the nice sets. You know the sets around the bathroom? You know the sets, the decorated set? I turn it upside down. I know the house. I turn it upside down, I know the house. I see the upside down is full of yellow. Yellow. What it mean? Male or female, they keep dripping. And they're not clean because they're not even aware about it. By this from outside, it's so clean. But once you turn it around, it's so dirty. How? Do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? أَلَّمَا فَمِنَ الْإِيمَانِ forgiveness from Iman. Cutting the nails every week. Cleaning the hair underneath your arm and around your private part, male and female. You do not have to shave it. You have many systems to do it. And especially for male, don't shave. You will have a beard like me. I'm serious, don't shave. You have all kind of a way. You have Egyptian wax, you have sugar, you have all kind of ways. Do it nicely. In other words, your hair gets longer, stronger, and harder. And when you get married, your husband, mashallah, is touching sandpaper. Don't do that. Learn to be clean and neat. It's a part of your Islam. It is located in the second revelation or third revelation. This shows me the quality of you, the cleanness, the tongue. A woman came to Rasulullah and she said, "Ya Rasulullah, I want to decorate myself for my husband." Do you know what he told her? He gave her two advice. He said, "Al-kuhlu wal-ma." Kuhl is the one like mascara. All of you guys know it. Kuhl is a black things like mascara. And ma is water. Cleanness. Please, our sister, do not meet your husband with all kinds of smell from the kitchen. Learn to be neat and clean. Don't go to sleep with dirt and sweat. You're building fungus. I have many sisters have fungus in the private part, in the earring, underneath the ear. Why? Why you have all this fungus? Because meaning you're dirty. Our men, mashallah, once you take the shoes off, you can smell it a mile away. Really, why? We are so stingy and so dirty. And stingy and dirty, they come together. No person clean is stingy. No person clean is stingy. Cleanness, and this cleanness also two part. Cleanness outside, cleanness inside. The cleanness inside, the cleanness of the heart. To mean well, to have a good manner, to have a good tongue. I said it before, when people used to ask, what is the most beautiful part of a woman? It's two. The most beautiful part of a woman is two. The eyes and the tongue. Why the Arabic people say the eyes and the tongue? Because the eyes, you can milk a man or be nice to a man with your eyes, and you can destroy a man with your eyes too. And similar with the tongue, meaning the voice and what you say. You can have a nice voice and nice manner. It hurt me when I see our female, they have the quality of a male. And our male, they have the quality of the female. It hurt me. Our female is so aggressive and they're not talking like female. And our male, they're so feminine, they're talking like female. It's really hard. Because all this is telling me, we are at the end of time. Everything is switched. And dirt immigrates from every dirt. And dirt in here, rush, is any dirt. And dirt can be outside dirt, internal dirt. Anything dirty, anything bad, any bad deed is dirt. Anything disobeying to Allah is dirt. Learn to be clean and neat. Learn to be pure. Learn to be having good smell. This part of our Islam. And if you want to know who you are, look at your underwear and look at your tongue. I'm serious, I'm not kidding. Because enough is enough, and we want to develop an ummah, we want to develop a nation. How? If the basic of the basic is not there, how? Where are we going? Well, you're a big husband. And again, for your Lord, be patient. Well, I don't mean to stick to it. Don't have minna. Minna meaning when Allah give me something and I make sure or I feel something about what Allah give me. No. A Muslim, the more Allah give me is a minna from Allah, but I do not give minna to other. This is the first message. This is the first message. When I pick a husband, and for your Lord be patient. And right away, look at this chapter, it's amazing. From a message, clearly, to get up and warn people, and all of a sudden, the sign of the day of judgment. And we go back again today, the way we talk to non-Muslim. We go to polygamy, we go to divorce, we go to marriage, we go to different fiqh. It's not da'wah. It's not da'wah to Islam. Da'wah to Islam should be to Allah. To Allah, to the Creator, to the Day of Judgment, to the truth, to death. This is the inviting to Islam. Islam is submission. All the revelation, all the misunderstanding can be later. But number one, our talk has to be emphasized and precise and organized in only one thing, the message. And this was the message of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time, Allah can send him and say, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Pindin. Islam is so nice, Islam fixes your problem, Islam fixes drug dealing, Islam fixes the relationship between you and your wife, Islam fixes all the alcohol problem. This is not the message of Allah. It's not. The message of Allah is very straight. And after that, all this bounty is the bounty of obedience to Allah. The fruit of Islam coming later from the obedience of Allah. But I do not invite them to the fruit. Never happened. The message was very straight. And even you see, فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَدِينِ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ. This is a very troubled day. This is a very tough day. Which day? The Day of Judgment. Allah tells them, wake up. You want to meet me. You want to meet your Lord. And this is the day you should worry about. Right away. عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرَ عَسِيرٌ. Over the disbeliever is not easy. You know, at this time, when this chapter revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one riwayah from the report, he looked to the place where he sleep, and he said, Ya Khadija, la raha ba'da al-yawm. O Khadija, no resting after today. No resting after today. He knows the message has arrived. He knows who he is now. He knows his duty. لا راحة بعد اليوم. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, he said, and you have to know who's Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas حضر الأمة, the ترجمان الأمة, the one, the translator of Quran. He said, فإذا نقر في الناقور, when the Israfil, angel Israfil blowing a trumpet, said, what it means this verse? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كَيْفَ أَنْعَمْ. How I be happy, and the angel of the trumpet is looking at Allah waiting for a command. And this what happened to the companion. He really took the message as a message, as a duty. Today we do not get it yet. Today even when we come in, we come in with the intention, I want to be good, I want my daughter to be good, I want my family to be good, but everybody go to bed. This is not Islam, this is not the message. The message is how I can receive the message, live the message, convey the message, and honor a messenger. This is the message. All of us have a message, we like it or we don't, we believe it or we disbelieve it. I have to repeat this again. We are the ones stopping the mercy of Allah in earth. We are the ones that criminal in earth because we the one who do not carry the message. And we think, if my daughter is happy, if my son is happy, if we recite Quran, if we praise Allah, mashallah, but everybody can go to hell. No! This is not the message. We are the carrier of the Quran. We the one carrying the revelation. We the one having the key of guidance to mankind. We the one we can spread the mercy of Allah on earth. And look what we do. We become so stingy, so blind, think about ourselves. Just understand, look at the beginning of revelation. Look at the pure message from the beginning. Warn them, Ya Rasulullah, warn them. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, and he used to cry every time he remembers the day of judgment, and he said that angel Israfil is bending his head, his eyes looking to the throne of Allah, waiting for the command of Allah to blow. He said, the companion of Rasulullah at this time, they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what advice you give us? You know what he said? Hasbun Allah wa ni'am al-wakeel. Hasbun Allah wa ni'am al-wakeel. Hasbun Allah wa ni'am al-wakeel. Allah is our hasb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one. He took care of us and he's our wakeel. He's the only one we rely on. But this has another meaning. When you say Hasbun Allah wa ni'am al-wakeel, you should say it with your own truth, meaning you say it with your heart, and your heart should be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in this verse, like one of the sisters said, one of the main advice of Allah to us, or to Rasulullah, be patient. And today we do not want to do that. We want jump. We want jump in everything, but we don't want to develop even the first part. Imagine, I take any one of you and say, let's go to Olympic, and you never have any training, and I want you to win. How? How we can be a good Muslim and generating Islam and Islamic, Islamic Ummah, Islamic nation, Islamic locality, when we do not have the individual quality? Number one, individual quality. And individual quality, if you have the true quality, you will be generous to other, you will be kind to other, you will be a spreader of this quality. Islam is like a piece of fire. Really, if it reaches your heart, you cannot be calm. You cannot be calm. You have to give it. You have to spread it. But if you have it, if you really have it, because it's a duty, it's a very, very, very duty. Today, I bear witness, the one who understands his duty, the one who embracing Islam is a non-Muslim. When the non-Muslim embracing Islam automatically, they get this feeling. And all of a sudden, what about my mother? What about my father? What about my friend? What about my people? Why? They get the message. But for us, we're so stingy, we're so selfish, we're so greedy, we only think about myself. If my son is good, my daughter is good, forget it. Let's go home. This is not Islam. And even after that, is a big warning. If you read the end of the rest of the chapter, and this belongs to one of the people, even in the clan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said bad thing about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to be a big man, huge man, with a lot of kids, a lot of money. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, dhani wa al-khalaqtu wahida. Leave him alone, the one. وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا. And I give him a lot of money. وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا. And a lot of kids. وَمَهْدَدْتُ لَهُ تَوْحِيدًا. And I make it easy for him. ثُمَّ يَطْمَعْ الْأَزِيلِ. And he wants me to give him more. كَلَّا إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِآيَاتِنَا عَلِيلًا. No way. He was stubborn against my signs and my word. سَفَرْ حُقُّ صَوْتًا. I will let him test it in a way going up. إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. Is a story behind it. If you want, you can read it later on, or if we can explain it later on. It's a story about man. His name, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Bizarre. What's his name? What? Waleed ibn Mughira. And this man, he really get it. He really get it. And this story, we should read it. We should understand it. Why? He was arrogant. Arrogant of what? Because he was big, huge, have a lot of kids, a lot of money. He think he have it all. It rings a bell. Tell me, honest to Allah, it rings a bell. What happened to us when Allah gave us some height, or some money, or some kids, and we walk like, mashallah, I'm the one. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Arrogant and Islam never mix. Don't ever forget. Arrogant and Islam never mix. You want Allah to open for you, humble yourself. Because humble open. Humble and humility open to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, this man, he's the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine he's sending many verses for him. Something we have to stop in here. Why Allah give a story of a man in Quran? It just is for him. You have to know Allah is so wise. If he give a story of a man, meaning mankind will do the same thing like the man. Do you know how many Muslims in the United States and Europe and Australia, they do exactly like Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira? Plenty. Big professor. Big merchant. They so arrogant. Why? Because they forget Allah. Because all of a sudden Allah blinded them of what they have. And they forget. A small even death of a virus or something can knock you down in no time. And especially in all our community today, the more our community has money, the more arrogant we have. The more status, the more arrogant we have. Why? Why we do that? Why? Because we forget who we are. And we forget who we deal with. And we forget who gave us all this money. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this money, and this energy, and this own power, whatever, and status, is only for what? Either a gift or a calamity. If I spend it for Allah, it's a gift. Like how I know my status is a gift or a calamity? Very simple. If my money, my status, make me more humble, more close to Allah, more charitable, more generous, more into good deed, meaning, this status is an opening for Allah. And if my money and my status make me more arrogant, more stubborn, deny the message of Allah, I'm in trouble. Very simple. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him. And in the end of the chapter, I gave all kinds of signs about the new channel. Imagine, you're talking about the third revelation, and right away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beat the day of judgment. And this is why anybody come close to me and tell them, you want to do da'wah to non-Muslim or even a Muslim, talk about only two topics. Talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk about the day of judgment, talk about paradise and hellfire, or talk about death. That's it. If the person does not be melting and his heart getting softer by these two topics, nothing you can do about it. Because if you read all the revelation in the beginning of Mecca about who's your Lord, the judgment is coming, the grave is coming. Finished. A pure, straight message. If the heart will not open to this message, what message you want? And this is why when we go and try to persuade non-Muslim to be a good Muslim, because the family structure, you can marry for a woman and all this, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. Is any question about this? Go ahead. I heard the first part, how a good woman, Muslim woman, or how to enjoy his good, mashallah. Okay, the question is, if I'm a woman, a Muslim woman, how can I enjoy this dunya also? Can I enjoy the dunya with this money? Let's go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What he said? Ad-dunya sijn al-mu'min wa jannah al-kafir. Dunya is the jail of the believer, the paradise of the disbeliever. Jannah, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the big imam, he was getting beat up and he put him in jail. In jail, when he was in jail and they beat him up so severely, his student went to him, some of his students. And they find him smiling. He did cry for the amount of torture he received and he smiled. They asked him, how you smile in this condition? He said, my Jannah in my chest, my paradise in my heart. They can do anything to me outside, but they cannot take my paradise. If they beat me, I have to be patient. Allah will elevate me. If they kill me, I will be martyred. Allah will elevate me. And if they throw me away in the desert, they used to do that, I will be doing siyaha. I will be in a vacation, remember Allah, and see the bounty of Allah. By this way, the reality of the believer is different. For example, if you have generosity in your heart, you will seize the bounty. If you go to poor people and give them, and they start crying and raise their hand, it gives you a lot of joy. If you take part of your gold and give it for Sabilillah to somebody to do good deed with it, at this moment you will feel joy. Every time you sacrifice some of your dunya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel joy. When this happens, Allah make your husband good manner. What happens even if my husband is not good? Allah give you jannah in your heart. He give you the sweetness and tranquility in your heart. I remember a story I never forget. It happened in the early 50s. A man, a scholar, he's almost 91 something years old. 90 something years old. He has a back problem. And at this time, when you have a back problem, very severe back problem, you have an iron belt. Iron belt. And to build this belt, you have to have two good people to build the belt anew. And this man, who was a big scholar, he says something, the government of Egypt put him in jail. And not only that, they used to have a special torture. They used to take the person and make him naked completely, and get animal fat, and rub the body with animal fat. And they used to have dogs in the size of a donkey. Dogs in the size of a donkey is only trained to kill, but trained to eat the part of the human being part by part in the front of you, eat it, and you watch it. But this was the first thing they used to teach the dog is once they go, they attach the dog, get and cut the private part of a man or a woman and eat it in the front of them. One part after another, one month after another. It was very trained to torture. Now, they take this man, they put all kind of fat grease in his body, they take him naked, now this man cannot even stand. And they put him in a cell with nobody, nothing, not even a bed, concrete. And they close the door and they get the dog. They used to call it the dog. Huge dog. It used to be actually dogs. They have it from Siberia with different area mixed with wolf. Very unbelievable breeding. They used to do it especially to kill and cut the people apart. Listen to this now. After some time, they didn't hear anything from the servant. They said the dog finishes this man in no time. He's an old man. They go looking, they find the man in sajda, in prostrating the ground, and the dog sitting next to him. And one of the trainer came, the dog killed him. The second trainer came, the dog killed him. They have to kill the dog. This is something happened to the dog. They get another dog. The another dog did exactly the same. What happened here? What this man was doing in frustration? This is the status, my sister. If you reach a little bit of it, you have the most enjoyable time in this dunya. Enjoyable in this dunya is not by having some gold and diamond ring. You understand me? And all kind of fancy clothing and show off to anybody. No. The ultimate enjoyment if you go to Allah. Do you remember the verse all the Arabic and Muslim people recite? وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share of the dunya. It's a verse. Anybody knows the verse where it's located? Anytime you talk to Arabic people like me, they go right away and it's not a ring of no time. And they recite this verse. وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share of dunya. What's that? Your deed. He said, is your deed. But where is the chapter of the king? Anybody know? It's what Al-Qasas. The chapter of Qasas. The stories. It was said to who? Anybody remember? Who's the worst man who had money? Quran talk about. Who's that?
Qarun.
Qarun. Is anybody have money more than Qarun? Is anybody have treasure more than Qarun? And when Qarun came in a big caravan with all his kingdom and all his money, what people tell him? وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share of dunya. وَأَحْسَنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And be good the way Allah be good to you. Now, what is your share of dunya? Listen carefully now. We're not going to do like Bible now. This is according to the method, according to books. No, we have to translate carefully. وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share of dunya. Now, do you know what it means? If you die tonight, what is your share of dunya? Your share of dunya, what you're going to take with you in the grave. This is your share of dunya. What you have in the closet is not your share. What you have in your bank account is not your share. What you have in your journal box is not your share. Anything you're leaving in here is not your share. Your share, the reality of your share, what's coming toward you, with you, in the grave and benefit you. This is the share of dunya. This is your share of dunya. What people say about you after you die is your share. Who will remember you and why is your share. I give you a story to explain to you more. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu in a time was very drought and no food, he was hungry. He said, let me go to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, ask him a fiqh question, maybe he can come in and he'll give me some food. And he went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he said, ya Abu Bakr, what about such and such verse? What does it mean? Abu Bakr told him, you ask me for the verse or you're hungry, ya Umar? He said, I'm coming here, Abu Bakr. He said, I have nothing. Let's go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Abu Bakr and Umar go toward Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When right away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what bring you? He said, what bring us? Bring you, ya Rasulullah. Or another report, what bring you me is what bring you. Meaning hunger. He's so hungry. Was for 2-3 days had no food at all. So he went with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one companion. One companion, they invite him for food. He bring in dates, and he's not a machine. I'm waiting to make the story short. They eat, and after they eat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Allah, فَرَوْقَ الْأُمَّةِ The criterion of the Ummah, the one Allah elevated within the Ummah, and the deen of Allah. Listen to what Rasulullah told Umar. He said, Ya Umar, ثُمَّ لَنُسْأَلِنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ Ya Umar, you will be questioned about this meeting. Umar cried and he fell down. Umar was big, huge. He fell down. They said like, he fell down like a mountain, fall down. And crying and weeping. He said, what I do, Ya Rasulullah? I keep looking all my life and I find one dua. One dua. After he coming down, he said, Ya Umar, say after you eat, Alhamdulillah alladhi tafaddala wa an'am. Alhamdulillah alladhi tafaddala wa an'am, tawfiqa ya Umar. Praise to Allah, thank to Allah, the one who tafaddal, the one who give extra, the one who generous, the one who give wa an'am, and his bounty over me. By this way, if you do any good meat, sweet, whatever, crab meat, lobster, shrimp, whatever, seafood, after you eat, say Alhamdulillah alladhi tafaddala wa an'am. And remember who is the one who gives you. Maybe you will not be questioned about it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Tadakhur, ثُمَّ لَنُسْأَلُونَ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ You will be questioned about the luxury. 20 years ago, I used to give advice. And I will give it to you in case I die tonight. Us in America, Europe, and Australia, when a time coming of zakat, we say zakat will land 100%. Everybody remember? 2.5, right? Sharia said 2.5. I'm telling you 15%. I'm telling you the fundamental 15%. Where are you getting the 4.5% from? Luxury. Luxury. The early days, the green pious people, what they do? I'm living, for example, in a house $1 million. My car is, for example, $100,000. My means, average, and my expense monthly, approximately $5,000. Is this average living in America? No. Now, let's put in average living in America. Average living in America, the number one is 12,500 to 25,000. By this way, what I do, for example, I'm spending, me, my husband, and my kids, we're spending miscellaneous and living expense, $100,000. Minus 25 is 75. I have to add the 75,000 I'm spending to the money I'm doing zakatu. And at this time they call it zakatu luxury. The luxury is a care to purify yourself from the fire. And from the questioning. It's not in Sharia, this is taqwa. It's not the rule of Allah. You want to go by the rule of Allah, be ready for Allah questioning all your luxury you do. You want to save yourself from every luxury you do, the early people, this is what they used to do. For example, I eat today, I mean $50. And average people eat today 3 meals for $15. I take $35, I spend it in the bath of Allah, and say, Allah, this is equivalent to my luxury meal. Do you get it or no? If you won't save yourself from the questioning in the front of Allah. If you buy a diamond ring, VV1 or V1, I know about that. Okay, $10,000 or $15,000. You can buy the Kunya diamond ring for $1.52 and nobody will know the difference. Nobody will know the difference except you. When it's 100,000 or 10,000, you look like everybody has to watch my finger. If it's $1.50, you don't care. Really. And after that, even if you buy the diamond ring, VV1 or V1, try to sell it. You will lose at least $3,000 or $4,000. He knows. They get you. You want to do that? Spend another $5,000 in the path of Allah and set the intention of Allah, this equivalent to my luxury. You want to do luxury? Pay for it. If you do not pay for it here, I promise you, you will pay for it in the year after. And if you pay for it in the front of Allah, you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Whoever is going to stand in the front of Allah and be questioned, he will go to hellfire. If we do not Allah give us mercy, we finished. By this way, all this advice, you know what is it? Is to save your neck and gain the mercy of Allah. And believe me, the ultimate joy in this life, if you have iman, is to spend for Allah, to do good deed. I challenge you, if you go to Ramadan Umrah, and take from you like $10,000, $5,000, $3,000 cash, and transfer the money, and move around Mecca, or around the Haram, and give to the poor people, and see what they want to do. And after that, go make the Raka to Allah, see the Raka out of life. Huge difference. You know why? I used to teach anybody come with me to Umrah or Hajj. I said, please, before even we start, cut a budget. How much you have? He said, $6,000. I told him, okay, give me $1,500. He said, what is for? I said, for poor people. Before even we start. With what intention? I tell him to Allah accept your Hajj. Let the poor people eat and cry and make dua for you. At this moment, Allah mercy will come to you. I've been before with many people going to Hilton. You know what meaning Hilton? Hilton of Mecca and Hilton Medina, just one step from the Haram. And look at the buffet of the Mecca Hilton. Unbelievable buffet. And people outside cannot even have a meal for 5 riyal, 10 riyal. And you want after that go to Haram and make salah? You are sick, you are dumb, you are blind. Because if you think Allah will look at you at this time, you are crazy. Because if you do not have feeling for all other Muslim, you are dead. You are dead. We become so dead we do not feel it. At this time, who you worship? Do you come in and say, Allah, I'm here. Let me go to finish the buffet. You can finish the buffet, but what kind of rak'ah are you going to do inside the haram? Why Allah will look at you as a son of mercy? What you done? Even in Arafat. One day I went in Arafat. In the day of Arafat, and people argue. I said, what are you doing? They argue about something done. I said, you destroy your Hajj. They said, what do we do? He said, you have to pay. You have to pay for your argue right now. You have to purify your Hajj. He said, where are we going? He said, don't worry about it. Give me. I took the money, and I just get out of our tent. Very luxury tent. Wallahi, I did not walk even 1 month. I see 3 men. The ihram is so yellow. Do you know what meaning ihram is so yellow? What does it mean? They sleep in the street. They have no another place. I can see they have no slipper. I ask where you're from. They tell me. How much money do you have? They said, we have none. They said, where you sleep? He said, where you cannot have a new place. I said, good. All of them are staring. And thank you, Allah. Do you think the steering of this man, it will not send the mercy of the person? I go to the tent again, another argue. Right away, they look at me, they said, we know how much. I said, such and such. One person will tell me, who are you going to give it this time? I said, come with me. I keep walking. I'm doing it. And all of a sudden, I see this very broken tent with a woman, a very old woman, with a young woman, with a child. And again, he sees a problem in a time of lunch and no food. And again, I took the money, I tell it for Allah, and I leave. And after I leave, I tell it, look. And the woman keep raising her hand to Allah and crying. You want to really feel joy? You want the ultimate joy in your life? Feed hungry people for Allah. Take care about orphans. This is the ultimate joy. You want more? I can give you more, inshallah, but when you finish the day. The masajid is a sign of the day of judgment. A sign of the day of judgment to the voices of masajid will be raised and not for Allah. If you do not believe me, read about the chapter of the last days. In Imam Bukhari or any book. By this way, we have to get away from shirk, partner with Allah, association with Allah. And believe it or not, I can go through this topic for a long time, because shirk is too many shirk. You have shirk in al-Ubudiyya, there's a shirk of worship. You have shirk in al-Ubudiyya, there's a shirk of partner with Allah in the ownership. And this 99% of a Muslim have it today. 99% of a Muslim having shirk in al-Ubudiyya. Why? Shirk-ul-Rububiyya meaning Allah is the owner, Allah is the provider, Allah is the ruler, Allah is the commander, Allah is the owner. And wonder what happened. The way we deal with each other, wonder what happened. Do we believe in Allah or believe in our money? Do we rely on Allah or rely on our money? Look at that, one old lady, one old woman, not old, but in the old days. Her husband was going the path of Allah. And people asked her, also and so, the provider is going? She said, I do not know my husband is a provider. My husband is an eater. The eater left, the provider stayed. Do you see what she said? The eater left, which is the husband, the provider stayed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She knew who is a provider. Today, I think my husband is a provider. My wife is a provider. My kids is a provider. Everybody is a provider. And forget, the provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand? Allah is the provider. Allah is a ruler. I do not follow anybody unless he commands me of something according to Allah wa Rasulullah. No obedience to anybody in a disobedience of Allah. Well, keep. Kibr coming together, by the way. Kibr is arrogant. And we spoke about it. Kibr is something, I will give you only one hadith is enough for all of us. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة. Nobody will enter Jannah has a dot of kibr, has a dot of arrogant. Is this not enough for all of us? Please, check the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you believe, the way you look, and ask yourself, why am I arrogant about it? You see, if I have, it's from Allah. If I do not have, alhamdulillah. And all of us is a trial for each other. A Muslim should not be arrogant at all. The sign of a Muslim is humble. I love Yusuf Islam. Do you know why? Look at his walk. Look at the way Yusuf Islam walk. You know, sometimes if you really look carefully, even one shoulder is lower than another. Why? Look at the way he walked. He walked with a lot of humble and humility. Why? He's a Muslim. The more you're getting closer to Allah, the more humble and humility you are. And the more you are far away from Allah, the more arrogant you will be. Don't ever forget me. And today, what hurt me, when we get arrogant for nothing. We do not have it. Finished completely?
2 seconds.
2 seconds, Allah after Ali. Okay, 1 moment, please. You always get me in the last moment. And I always say, Do you know when the revelations start coming? Listen to me carefully about what I'm going to say, because we are in big trouble with Allah. How many of us know each other? How many of us know the situation of each other? When Muslims embraced Islam in the beginning of Mecca, the things they did what we did, they get together, they know each other, they're supporting each other, they share everything with each other, they bond with each other. This is Islam. They bond for many things. They bond not only money, feeling, marriage, shelter, knowledge, everything they bond. They bond. And actually, if you study, it was a few rich people, and the majority were slaves and poor people. Today, let me tell you honest to Allah. When you see the calamity of the Ummah, do you know what I see? The people who have calamity, they have no calamity. We have the calamity. The people of Bosnia, Chechnya, Kashmir, Iraq, Palestine, all these people, they have no problem. We have a problem. Because these people, they have destined over them. A situation arise. Nothing they can do about it. But we, sitting and watching, what we do about it? By this way, we the one Allah allowed us to do. Even young people. I tell you something for Allah. You want Allah to open for you? Collect all your toys. Or even that your closet, sell it. Sell it as soon as possible. And take this money and give it to a charity. And I swear by Allah, you will see what will happen to you. All of a sudden, Allah will open your heart. Because the problem is our youth carry our own diseases. She go, he or she, look into the closet. Which dress do you like? Which dress do you not like? Mommy, I want this ring. Mommy, do not give this away. I want this one. Oh, mommy, I want this one. And all our heart and soul is so dirty, corrupted by material. How we get Iman? How? Wallahi, I swear by Allah. You want to read Iman? Work for it. Struggle for it. Reading is not the topic. Reading only to awareness. Is awareness, awareness, knowledge. But after that, what are you going to do? For example, if you value this meeting, why you not call other? Why you do not generate the momentum in your own house? Why you do not invite others? Why you do not in your own books library at home? When you have a guest, instead of inviting and working for 1.5 days to cook a meal, what about making a quick meal and make sure we have Islamic video, we have Islamic tapes, we have Islamic books, and people who come to visit us, they leave with something. This is Islam. By this way, I will be invited to Allah all the time, according to my level. Even if you have no knowledge, you do not have the knowledge. You can have the meaning. It's bread with your meaning. What's that?
They never going to come to your house.
Nobody come to your house?
Is that the
Islamic court system? No. First, you cannot say that. Treat them nicely. But in the meantime, put a tape. Not even for 1 hour. For a few minutes. Give them a small booklet. With a smile. You cannot say, halal, 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 halal. They're not coming. You ever see me saying, halal, halal? I do not do that. Because we're not ready. You're not going to come anymore. But how to encourage? And don't forget, it doesn't have to be for the first time. You know what I said to people? How many of us, before we cook, we make wudu? To Allah, oh Allah, put in my food guidance, put in my food wisdom, put in my food knowledge. And make to Raqqa, with the intention to Allah, to barak in your food, and make it the cause of guidance. And otherwise, you will be so arrogant. Oh, my food is the best. My food is this. I know how to make this. Nobody can make it like me. And all of us are full of struggle, but we tell everybody is the best. Really. And we become sick looking to each other and who's cooking what and who's doing more. No. Doing it for Allah. Learn to invite people for Allah. And even if you're too far, just drop words. Drop small booklet. Invite them. Encourage them. And whoever in the family, young or youth, it seems to be as you have an opening, take them aside. If you do not know how, invite those who can. And make the meeting in the house, not the meeting of eating, the meeting of spreading Islam. And if you do not come anymore, alhamdulillah, you save your time. There's nothing wrong with that, because the loyalty has to start. The loyalty to those who bring your heart to Allah has to start. And getting away from those who destroy your heart and your time. It's not worth it. Making $200-$300 mean for some people coming and just to show off and making a mess and leave is not worth it. It's not worth it. Working for 2 days, hard, for what? It's not worth it. You destroy your life and hereafter for what? $200, you can feed a family for a year in Somalia or someplace else. A year. You see, we are stingy. We do not see goodness. We can do a lot. He was raising your hand, sister. I cannot hear you. Unless somebody carry her message. Exactly. You see, Islam and Dawah is not a talk. If she sees you different, if she sees you with good manner and good conduct, if she sees you good deed, wallahi I will tell you something. Wallahi I will tell you something. Wallahi I will tell you something. You straight your intention between you and Allah, Allah attract people to you. You do not have even to say a word. You do not have even to say a word. I can give you many stories about when you purify your intention, what Allah can give you. Once you purify your intention, Allah give you. Allah give us according to our intention. Any question, any concern? Yes?
I have a question. You were saying that you know you have to start from the Quran with the field.
Yes.
And you have to start implementing or you know learn something like that. But the Quran is compiled differently.
Yes.
The Baqarah was revealed towards the end at Medina.
Okay.
So like, how do you take the wisdom of that?
Okay. You said that the composing of the Quran is different than revelation. Now, for example, Surah Al-Baqarah in Medina, but in the beginning of the Quran. Okay. Now, what's the question?
You're saying, like, so then how would you know, like, the order of revelation?
You have to go to somebody you know. You remember? We have to learn. This is what we're doing now. I'm giving you an example. We're going to skip some area just to make it short because we're very short time in this summer. Because I want to give you the maximum advice from Allah, from Quran, and the wisdom behind it. And between you, if you listen to me carefully and understand it, you will know how to read Quran. Because Quran Makki is a wisdom in the beginning, advice in the end, and a warning. It's a job. You cannot just read it like that. It's not entertainment. It's a job. It's a duty. It's many advice. Take the advice. Follow the advice step by step. You will grow. Believe me, in 1 week prayer, if you follow the advice and live it, you will see the difference in you. You start doing good. Remember Allah. You start stopping nonsense. Any nonsense talk. You love music? Stop it. Or at least decrease it. Cry out loud. Any bad habit, stop it. Don't give me the phone a lot, stop it. All the sisters who know me a long time ago, I teach them. I give them a list of questions. I promise you, you take the list, implement it, 99% of the phone call it will be eliminated. 99% of the phone call will be eliminated, and you will not have to do nothing. Nobody will call you anymore. Why? Today, actually, very simple. I tell people, when somebody asks first, are you calling me for Allah or for dunya? What is your intention of calling me? Do you want to give me salam or you want to give me nonsense? Do you look for a garbage can to drop all your garbage? Or you want to share something for me with me? And if you want to share, you want to share Islamic topic or dunya topic? If it's Islamic topic, I do not have it. Go to somebody learn it and ask him. And if it's dunya topic, look for another shaitan together with me. Finished. Oh, but I have to tell you the news. So and so get married, and so divorced, and she has a baby, and her baby is 7.6. And what is my job? Why you want to give me that? Oh, I want to give you news. News of what? Why you want to give me this news? To after that make a comment and you become a bad party, but in the beginning of the news? Are you working for CNN, BBC? Is anybody asking to report? Because today, if we do not do that daily, we feel sick. I challenge you, if you drop a lot of the backbiting and namima and talking, you save at least 80% of your time. Between cooking and talking and nonsense, you're saving a lot of time. Now you can do this, you can remember Allah, reading your book. I have a book, I gave it to one sister yesterday, I have only one left. Who won it? You have to work for it. I said today, I will ask question, whoever answer, he get it. Now, who answered today? Three people answered, and believe me, the three was right. Now what I do, I cut the book in three. I cannot do that. What I do is, I ask one more question, whoever answer, he get it. And from now on, I have a very nice book, but this book from now on will be given to those who answer, because I do not have too much of that. Now, what we gain today, what is the main message? What we need in here today with? How to enjoy the world. Be specific.
You can enjoy this dunya, you can have contentment of the heart, and you can go to the akhirah.
Okay. She said the contentment of the heart and working for akhirah. Actually, this is the ultimate enjoyment of this dunya. Doesn't mean you have a husband or a wife. Doesn't mean you do not enjoy your husband or a wife. Do not enjoy a meal. But with its own right. For example, if you go and do intimacy with your husband with the intention to please him for Allah, is a worship. If you do it for yourself, it's zero. If you put in for Allah and ask you to Allah to be guided for your children and your family, is a worship. If you do it because you like so, it's zero, it's minus. You see? Because the believer, everything goes back to the intention. And you go back to men. And if you like a meal and you really like it so much, no problem. Calculate all the meal you eat it for the meal, for the liking, and see how much you spend, and spend equivalent of it before the end of the year. And between you and Allah said, Allah, please, I'm paying you for all the luxury I have in my life. Please accept it, Ya Allah. And don't ask me in the day of judgment. And every meal and every something nice, say Alhamdulillah, alladhi tafaddala wa an'am. Alhamdulillah, alladhi tafaddala wa an'am. It's another dua. If you say it, Allah forgive all your sins. Imagine one dua. If you say it, Allah forgive all your sins. After you eat, who give me the dua? Imagine a dua. If I say it, Allah forgive all my previous sins. Rasulullah is a hadith sahih. After the meal, after you eat, if you say this dua, Allah forgive all your sins. Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah, alazhi atamana wa sakna wa ja'alana.
This is normal dua of Moshe. Alhamdulillah, الذي أطعمنا ورزقنا وجعلنا أن يستغفر وجعلنا من المسلمين. If you get there, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. If you get the most important part, من المسلمين. Okay, what is the dua? Come on, make me happy. It's the same, but you said in English. Huh? Let me tell you something. Do you know what is dua? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever translates his dua after a meal, Allah forgive all his sin. You know why? Because if you translate the dua, it denies yourself. It denies everything. Huh? Okay, I'm not going to take too much of your time. I need to answer, but what I do, I give to myself. Alhamdulillah. Repeat after me,
Alhamdulillah,
الذي أطعمني هذا ورزقنيه من غير حول مني ولا قوة. الحمد لله زوان فيدني this meal without no power and no strength of me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever made this dua after me, Allah forgive his sins. No! I give you riyad salihin, I give you many dua, I give you hasna haseen. Read! Read and implement! Yes? Go ahead. The question is, I heard about some people in Islam, they can know the future, they can corrupt the family, they can do things. Okay, we go to the topic of jinn. The topic of jinn. What habit is, dealing with jinn is haram, it's forbidden. Dealing with sihr, like magic, is forbidden. And one of the major sins. If I find it inshallah, I can get it for you inshallah in the future. What the major sins by Imam Dhahabi. And anybody deal with jinn, he has to have kufr first. Meaning he can meet a sheikh like me, astaghfirullah al-azim, but much higher than me, with a big beard and everything, light all over, this and that, but he's dealing with jinn. Dealing with jinn is forbidden. Okay? Now, all over in Muslim country today, jinn is really spreading. You won't get married so and so, you go to him. Your mom do not like your husband, go to somebody, give him money. You have no children, you go to somebody, make you have children. All this nonsense. Why Allah would allow some of this to happen? Allah would allow it to happen as a trial. If you have iman and yaqeen, it will never happen, it will never go. Can it happen? Yes. Can we stop it? Yes. Can we cure ourselves? Yes. Can we solve ourselves from that? Yes. If you like, I can give you two tips about all this topic in details. I will explain to you everything about this topic. About jinn, how it happens. Also about ayn. Ayn, the eyes, bad eyes. Some people can give you bad eyes, destroy you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he said, al-ayn tasbiq al-qadr. Ayn is faster than destiny. But can I be scared? Can I always be scared? No. Let me tell you something, honest to Allah. If you protect yourself daily and night time, you finished. You done. You should learn how to protect yourself. How to protect yourself? This is another topic I can teach you. What is it? Ayn al-Kursi. Surah al-Fatiha. The last three surah, meaning قُلْهُ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And I can tell you about the ultimate protection. The ultimate protection. And you can find it in many booklets. I can get you something inshallah in the future. Now, the ultimate reduction is two. One is five verses from Surah Al-Hashr. The last five verses from Surah Al-Hashr. If you recite them at night, you would be protected until daytime. If you recite them after Salat al-Fajr, you would be protected until night. You see, the problem is that we are not protecting ourselves. The only way to protect yourself by Allah. And after you be protected, whoever wants to do. The another protection is a hadith. The hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Allahumma anta rabbi. La ilaha illa an. Alayka tawakkaltu. Wa anta rabbul arsh al-azim. Ma sha'a Allah kan. Wa ma lam yashak lam yakun. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-azim al-azim. A'lam anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما وأحصى كل شيء عددا اللهم أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر كل دابة أنت آخذ بناصيتها إن ربي على صراط مستقيم. This is the تحصين of everything. They call it the تحصين الأعظم, the greatest تحصين, the one. If you do it, nothing can harm you except death, day or night. Where you find it, again, I can show you where you can find it in different books. And you keep reciting daily until you memorize it. Yes, sister. Say it again. I really cannot hear you. Bad jinn and good jinn. Sure, you have Muslim jinn and non-Muslim jinn. But somebody said, oh, I'm dealing only with good jinn or Muslim jinn. No. Because even good Muslim jinn will not deal with you. Will not do that. Same thing here? I cannot hear you. A good jinn come to you. To do what? Okay, pious people. A pious people have good jinn. Okay, a pious person has good jinn to do what? To what? Yes, to do what? To go to him? To make dua for you?
No, not for him.
The pious person. Okay, they came to the pious person. What do you want to say? Can a salih jinn, can a good jinn go to the pious person? Yes, he can for learning. Not to do mischief. Not to say so and so, she loves so and so. I give her $200 and make her marry so and so. No. And after that, or so and so, she wants a child. She always has girls. Can you get her a boy? No. It's shirt. Say it again. Okay. Some people pray too much. See, very good. See what? The jinn? Impress the people. Put it this way, sister. It's all by talk. With all respect to you. Why? This is spread in Turkey, in Far East, in Arabic country, in Pakistan. Because if you good, you will hide your goodness. If Allah give you certain power, you hide it. You do not want to spread it. You do not want to show off. And even if you show it, you show it for wisdom. But not to be famous, and you're coming to me with all kind of problems. And before you know it, you're not worshipping Allah, you're worshipping a person. I know spread is wrong. It's wrong. Because the companion never did it. The follower of the companion never did it. If it was good, how come they never do? How come Rasulullah never invite us to something like that? All of a sudden, we are now is the most affluent people, we reach so hard? No. A lot of this corruption, sister, get away. I did with people. I went to one of a Turkish family, and the woman came to me and told me, Sheikh so-and-so, and she showed me the picture. Okay? He said, you step in his foot, or you look at his hand, he shows you the kingdom of Allah. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. You understand me? You have a lot of things, it's completely out of Islam. If you know Quran and Sunnah, you will never be persuaded by such people. You don't need none of that. You need Allah. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first revelation tell you to go to these people? Allah didn't come to me. Rely on me. Why do you need these pious people? You need the pious people to learn from them. You need the pious people to gain advice from them. But not this hanky-panky, you know, relationship. No. Get away from that. It's very dangerous. Because the majority of sense today is corruption. A lot of corruption. A lot of corruption. Because even if I'm really pious and I want to do good to you, I will do it without even you knowing. I will make you offer your attention. I cannot hear you. Okay, can I give you something? It's Salat al-Zuhr now. All kind of story, all kind of talk, I will be after Zuhr available until 5, 6 o'clock. We can talk about all this topic in details. Okay, anybody more than welcome, I can talk to you about this topic in detail. Okay, inshallah, and I have also very beautiful books for you if you want. About you. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله العلي العظيم وحسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل ورفوت امرنا الى الله ان الله بصير بالعباد اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يقربنا الى حبك محبوب عبادك فيه اللهم ارزقنا الاخلاص في السر والعلانيه اللهم ارزقنا الصدق في السر والعلانيه اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. ان شاء الله tomorrow I want you to read the beginning of Surah Al-An'am and the ending of Surah Al-An'am. The beginning of Surah Al-An'am and the ending of Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am is chapter, I think, 6 or 7. Accept it from whom you are. And Salat al-Zuhr is inshallah very soon. Okay. Tomorrow, inshallah, after this session, I'm not leaving. After this session, because Sister Samina, we have an event in her house about all the people who was in the camp with us for 2 weeks. But it's when we try to make a follow-up about all the people who was in the camp, how's he doing, how's the family doing, how's the kids doing, how's the parents doing. Any one of you, more than welcome to Sister Samina's house. And from Zohar until 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I'm available. Either in her house or here or anywhere. Anybody want me for any kind of question and answer situation, I will be here available. We will decide where it would be, I don't care. Okay? Now it's up to you to take it or leave it. I make myself available and that's it. Okay, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Always leave with دعاء. Leave with contentment. Leave with tranquility. The beginning and the end of a session is so powerful in the eye of Allah. Now you're leaving. What you're leaving with? What you're leaving with your heart? If you're really honest to Allah, you would be leaving like a paralyzed person.